Well, good morning. I'm glad y'all are getting some rain down here because we're not, but my pear tree is trying to bloom right now. It doesn't realize we still have a couple more freezes up where I live. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at what Paul talks about gifts. We've been talking about service in the church, ministry. We've been looking at how we're one temple, one body. And we're going to continue that theme by looking at how Paul talks about us being one body and having gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're turning there, the Barna Group did a study in 2017, so about 3 years ago now, and they found that there are a number of people, as you probably know, that are rising in our culture, in our country. Some of them like to talk about themselves as being spiritual but not religious. Some of them like to talk about loving Jesus but not the church. That latter group, the ones that love Jesus but not the church, 3 years ago, they were about 10% of our population, and they were rising. There was a growing group. Most of them were Christians, had Christian Orthodox beliefs from what the studies by Barna showed, but they just didn't like things that happened in the church. They thought that they should follow Christ on their own. The other group, the spiritual but not religious, about 40% of them also claimed that they came from some faith tradition. They still said that they were Christian or Jewish or some other group. But when Barna started asking them questions about however they self-identified, Barna found that they really didn't hold a lot of the beliefs of whatever their faith tradition was. They kind of were just doing their own thing, but still kind of connected a little bit to Christianity or to whatever. But the rest of them were either said that they were atheist or agnostic, but they were still spiritual. They just weren't religious. They had some problem with the institutional church. The ones that loved Jesus but not the church, they tended to be boomers and Gen Xers. So older individuals. The ones that are the spiritual but not religious, they tend to be younger. The millennials, the iGen generation that's just now starting to graduate from high school. The reason I bring that up is that Paul, in chapter 12, introduces this whole discussion by saying, and now about spiritual things. Or perhaps, it's hard to know how to translate his first statement, but when you get to chapter 14, it's clear that he's talking about those that say, personally, I'm spiritual. And so probably that's what he's saying. Now, those of you that say you're spiritual. And so it's very much like these people that say they're spiritual but not religious. And so we want to look at what does Paul say in chapter 12 about those who want to be spiritual. So beginning in verse 4, he says, "There are many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then the rest of the chapter, he goes on and talks about how we are this one Spirit, this one body. How are we this one body, even though we are different parts, we are different people? So, a couple of things that I want us to look at today in this passage, and I'm really building off those first three verses where he talks about there being many gifts and many services and many works. So I want to look at the first thing, that we have gifts manifested by the Spirit. In the church, God has given each one of us certain abilities, certain gifts. Now, at sometimes people tend to think of it as being some kind of supernatural, something I just can't do outside the church. But when I come to church, boy, suddenly, boom, here's this totally different gift, supernatural. But that doesn't seem to be what Paul means. He's saying they're gifts. They are given to us by the Spirit. But frequently, they're part of who we already are. We're just... The point that Paul's trying to make is that they're gifts. Sometimes we see somebody that has a certain knack for something and we say, look at, they just had this natural ability. And Paul says, no. Whatever they have, it's from God. It's God's gift, and therefore we need to use it and bless others through the gift that we have. So, you'll hear us talk this way when we're, I was just yesterday afternoon, I went to the Sooner Athletic Conference the tournament that the Sooner Athletic Conference, which Waylon belongs to. Our Waylon girls, the Flying Queens, they won the conference, the tournament. And you'll hear people talk about gifted athletes. Boy, they're gifted. Because we acknowledge that God has given something unique to certain individuals. And that's what Paul's talking about. All of us have some kind of gift. He's dealing with the attitude that we have. Do we recognize it as a gift, or do we think that it's something of our own? Earlier in the chapter, earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says in chapter 4, verse 7, "For what makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" You see, that's what we sometimes do. Oh, I'm really smart. Or, oh, I'm really good at such and such. And he says, why are you boasting about that? It's a gift. It's from God. And so he wants us to think about the fact that these are all gifts that manifest in the church, within each of us. We're not, 1 Corinthians 4, right before that verse that I just read you, he said, we shouldn't be puffed up. We shouldn't walk around, you know, with our chest out. Oh, I'm so good about something. He says, no, it's a gift. It's a gift. And that's why, if you look at the broad picture of 1 Corinthians, he starts talking about gifts at the beginning of chapter 12, and he doesn't finish talking about it till the end of chapter 14. Three chapters. But right in the middle of it, you suddenly have chapter 13 that talks all about love. And it talks about love because that's the way we're supposed to look at these gifts. He says, this is, love is the more excellent way. It's looking beyond ourselves. It's not saying, oh, look at what I've got, but looking at others. in thinking, how can my gift be used for others? It's one of the things that I kind of don't like, these little forms you may have used or seen, and it's okay if you used them. I'm not saying you're bad, but there are these forms sometimes we have called spiritual gift inventories, and you take it, and then you're supposed to say, well, my gift is such and such. Well, sometimes we brag about that. Sometimes we're so focused, it's almost like we're looking in a mirror so much at ourselves and what we have and who we are, instead of what Paul's wanting us to do is look at others and say, how can I use what I have for you and for you and for this other person? That's what we're supposed to be doing, is they're gifts for others. That's why in verse 7 of chapter 12, he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, it's given. And it's given for the common good. These gifts are different, as it says there in verse 7. They're different. And that's why a little later in the chapter, he starts talking about, what if the whole body were an eye? Or what if the whole body were an ear? He's saying, we're not all supposed to want the exact same gift. We shouldn't covet, which, by the way, is one of the Ten Commandments. We shouldn't desire somebody else's gift, but be thankful for the gifts God has given each of us. And yet, at the same time, he tells us to be zealous, to seek after the greater gifts. So Paul's interesting. He says, don't brag, don't believe, don't say, this is mine, and yet, and we all can't have the same gift, and yet he says, seek the better gifts. Later on, chapter 14, when he tries to explain to us what the better gifts are, what he says in chapter 14, in verse 12 is, so it is with you. Since you are zealous, you're eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So when he tells us to seek those gifts that are greater, it's not the ones that we can say, look at me, look at what great things I have, but the ones that help others and build up together the church. So we're gifted with different gifts from the Spirit. And that leads us into the second idea that you have in 1 Corinthians 12. We had these different services, but the same Lord. We had these services that were given, these ways that we can serve one another. The reason we have the gifts is for one another. We have the gift, and we're supposed to use it and give it. It's for others, it's for the body of Christ. And that's probably why when he's talking about it at the beginning of the introduction, he says there are many different services, but the same Lord. If we're serving the Lord, Jesus, and this is his body, the church, then what we're supposed to be doing with these gifts we have is serving one another in the church. So we're called to serve. We're called to be diverse and yet also interdependent. Again, a little later in chapter 12, he talks about how some of the body parts, they can't say, since I'm a foot and not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Or since I'm an eye and not an ear, I don't belong to the body. We can't be Lone Ranger Christians. That study that talked about, oh, I love Jesus, but not the church. You can't do that. That's what I find so interesting about how Barna says, well, they're Orthodox. No! The emphasis of the Bible is if you love Jesus, you love his church. Warts and all. Because they're part of the body too. Right? You might use the medication, try to get rid of the warts, but it's still part of the body. We're to love the body. So we're not supposed to be Lone Ranger Christians. We're not supposed to say, I'm better than someone else, be boastful or puffed up. We're also not to be condescending to others. In chapter 12, it says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. We can't be condescending, saying somehow I'm better than someone else. We're all one body. We all have different functions, but we have to work together if we want to grow and if we want to succeed and move forward as a congregation. This idea of the church being a body was not something Paul invented. You can find in ancient Greece, a lot of the philosophers and stuff, when they talked about cities, when they talked about communities, they would use the image of a body. And they would talk about how together we function as a unit. But in the Greek way of thinking, which honestly, I don't know the Greeks as well as I know Hinduism, because I teach world religions. So I'm going to show you a chart that you can't really read up there. But this is a chart from Hinduism. At the top, the mouth, that's the priests. The religious leaders, they speak for God. The arms, those were the warriors and the kings and the rulers, the government. The thighs, those were the merchants and the farmers that owned land. So basically the upper class, and then the middle class, and then the feet at the very bottom, it's all the workers. That was the vast majority of the people, down at the bottom. The Greeks had similar understandings. The educated, the powerful, the rulers, they're all up here, and all those other people were serving them. And what Paul's trying to say as he talks about us being the body of Christ is he's saying, no, that's not how we're supposed to be. We're all one, without distinction, he says at one point. But he uses some interesting images as he inverts this whole idea. He says, the parts that are infirm are indispensable. I mean, just imagine if you go out today and you break your arm. How many of you are going to say, oh, my arm's broken, cut it off? No. Paul's saying that if it's infirm, it's still indispensable. You need it. You must have it. We'll actually put it in a sling and protect it. And that's what he's telling us we're supposed to do as a body. Those that are weaker, we protect. In fact, that's how he says it right after. If something's baser, we reverence it. If it's lower, we take care of it, like I just said. Put a bandage around it. Keep it in a sling so that it's protected. But we don't get rid of it. And then Paul also, in chapter 12, he talks about that. Let's see, where is that? In verse 24. Or verse 23, my NIV says, those parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. The word's better translated as those parts that are indecent. He's talking about the sexual organs. That we don't walk around naked. We have them covered up. We show special dignity to those parts that are most unique. Or might bring us shame, but we don't treat them like they're shameful. We take special honor for them. So he's totally inverting this whole idea where the people are thinking, oh, I'm up here and those people are down there. He says, no, if they're down there, care for them. love them, elevate them, protect them. Paul says in verse 25, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So at a minimum, Paul is saying, at a minimum, we're to treat those who are weaker than us as equals in Christ. When they suffer, we should suffer, he says. When they are honored, we should be excited for them and honor them. But we have this diversity of gifts. I mean, it's very clear that I'm standing up here. Some of us never get in front of people and speak. But that doesn't mean God hasn't given us gifts. And that doesn't mean our gifts are any less important. I mean, you see the mouth, but I can promise you the heart's a lot more important. And the blood vessels that circulate life throughout the body, those are far more important, even though they're kind of ugly and weird looking. And you don't have them displayed out in public. But that's what he's saying. We're all important. We're all a body. And the reason that we have this body, these gifts, are to serve and to be active. In chapter 12, verse 6, where he talks about there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one is the same God at work. The word that the NIV translates as working, the word in Greek is energema, and the word for God is energao. It's where we get our word energy, which obviously is very understandable here in the Permian Basin area. All the oil and energy and the wind power that this region produces, it's active, it's energetic. And that's what we're called to be as the body of Christ. We have these gifts to serve one another and to be active with them. Not to just keep them to ourselves or only use them once in a while. The body is supposed to be a living body, not a corpse. It's supposed to be active and living and moving. I mean, some of the gifts that he mentions are quite... the term we use all through the 20th century was charismatic. I mean, he talks about miracles. He talks about speaking in tongues. He talks about these things. And some of us are like, well, that's uncomfortable to me. And I know, and I'm not really, if I were really super into that, I wouldn't be Baptist. I'd be in a different denomination. But what he's talking about is activity. It's not serving on the finance committee, though that's important. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about faithfully coming each week and sitting in the pew. It's active. It's energetic. It's moving the church forward. And if we can't do that, if we don't do that, then we're not honoring what God is calling us to be. So we're to be active, working, but in the same direction. I mean, can you imagine a body that's trying to do 12 different things at once? That would be wild. I've seen some kids try to multitask and do some things. I'm like, I don't think you're really doing as much as you think you're doing. But we're supposed to be going in the same direction. And Paul emphasizes that in this passage. 6 times in those verses I read, he says the word same. 6 other times, he says the word one. There's this emphasis that we work together for the will of God, for what God is wanting us to do. Even those verses in verse 4 through 6, where he says there's many different gifts, but one Spirit, there's many different services, but the same Lord, many different works, but the one God that works. He's giving us the image of the triune God. God, even though he's Father, Son, and Spirit, is still one God. And we, though we're diverse and we have all these different parts of our bodies and these different gifts and these different ways we're supposed to work, we're still one body serving one God in a common direction. And that's why he says in verse 7, we have these gifts, these services, this activity for the common good, for the good of all of us. Toward the end of chapter 12, he begins to talk about that the body has different offices. If you look at verse 27, he says, we've got the body, each of you is part of it, and God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers. So he mentions some different offices, but then he also mentions some different gifts. So some of us may say, I'm not an officer, but gifts as well, miracles, healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. So we have all these things, whether an office, whether a gift, we have it for the common good, to build up the church, to move forward in the kingdom of God. Chapter 13, Paul talks about love, and he says at one point in the chapter, now the gifts that we have, the different manifestations God is giving us now, one day those are all going to cease. But the purpose behind them, love, caring for one another, that's going to go on forever, he says. So we need to make sure we're using our gifts now to edify the church. That's what he says in chapter 14. Edify the church. They're not for yourself. They're to be used orderly, each in its own time. He talks about God not being a God of disorder. But he's given us this because he wants us to be active. He wants us to have the gifts, be using them for one another in service. That's what we're called to do as the church. So, we're gifted for active service. This is probably why at the very beginning of the chapter, of chapter 12, the first three verses, where he says, now about the spiritual, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. And then he says in verse 3, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We can't be, like I said earlier, we can't be these people that say, I'm spiritual but not religious. Because if we are spiritual, then that means we have gifts, and we have those gifts to serve one another, to build up the church. We can't say, I love Jesus, but not the church, because this is Jesus. This is who we are called to serve. This is what we're supposed to be doing, is working and caring. And that's why he says, if you're saying Jesus is cursed, he's saying, he's equating that to those people that are saying, I'm an eye, and so I don't belong to the body. The rest of the body is cursed. They're not saying the words out loud, but that's what their actions are saying. That's what Paul's saying. If you're looking at the foot and saying, well, that foot down there, I don't need that, you're saying Jesus is cursed. And he's saying, anytime you're doing that, anytime you're saying, I don't need this part or I don't need that part of the body, you're not speaking from the Holy Spirit. You're not being who Christ has called us to be. If we are truly spiritual, we're going to love and serve the body. We're going to seek gifts that edify the body. And we're going to actively use those gifts to unite the body. So we are gifted for active service because, as it says, again, at the beginning of the what we read earlier, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it's the same God at work. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you, Lord, and just pray that you would speak to us in the next minutes, Lord, that you would help us to see how we can be actively involved using the gifts you have bestowed on us and graciously given to us to serve one another to your glory and praise, so that all might see how we love one another and might be drawn into that love, because it's something attractive. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.